Right. Glad you saved. Say amen.
Amen.
I appreciate that good speech, my brother. Thank you for that. That was wonderful. Very well written. And I like the title that your daughter put on it. Because that's this. Your education has not ended today, but it's just begun. And my pastor told me that he encouraged me to go to Bible college. And I did, and I'm thankful. And I crammed 6 years into four. Say amen. Or 4 years into six. I told you I wasn't good at math. It was a six-year course. A four-year course took me 6 years. I'm not good at math. And I'm thankful. And I thank God for the opportunity. You have been given an opportunity that most folks are never offered. And even fewer respond once they offer it. Amen. I started out, Brother Rob, in my freshman year. There were 45 of us preacher boys. And two graduated that the 4 years later, or well, 6 years later. And there was two of us, me and another guy. And what I want to preach on tonight is not quitting. And that's what you've done. You started something, you didn't quit. And that's what this thing's about. It's about starting something and finishing it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Would you take your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 40. I want to preach tonight out of Isaiah 40, 31. Probably the most one of the most well-known verses in the Old Testament. My pastor's favorite verse. He loves eagles, and his office decorated in eagles. And you've probably seen Bible covers with Isaiah 40:31 on it, with pictures of eagles, and you've probably seen paintings. I'm pretty sure I saw at the restaurant today a painting. Of a picture of eagles and the verse below it, Isaiah 40:31. Well, I didn't come to preach about eagles. I don't know a lot about eagles. Somebody say amen. I'm from Alabama. Buzzards, I could probably talk about, but that's not what I want to give you a brief exposition. Well, brief, I ain't going to lie to you. I really want to say one thing. But I'm going to say four things by way of introduction and then three things. That's just the way it is, y'all. Don't you wish preachers would learn how to just say what's on their heart and we can all go home? Somebody help me now. But that ain't how it works, y'all. So here we go. But I want you to look at Isaiah chapter number 40 with me. And I want to preach a little while on finishing without fainting. You notice in these verses that we'll read that that's a reoccurring concept. In every single verse that we'll read and in our text verse is the idea of not fainting. Now I want you to read the text with me in Isaiah chapter number 40, beginning in verse 28. I'm going to preach out of verse 31, but for good context, I want to read from verse number 28. If you love your Bible, say amen. Thank God for the word of God. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? I'm glad God don't get tired of being God. Somebody holler amen. He never does get weary of helping you. He does not get tired of hearing from you. He doesn't get tired of bailing you out and helping you in your problems. He delights to come to the aid of his children. Somebody holler amen. He don't faint. Look at verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall.
But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's in the house of God. Thank you for the accomplishment of these dear folks before me tonight. And I pray that you'd help them. And I pray that, Lord, this would not be the end, but just the beginning of a wonderful life spent in the study of the best book that anybody could ever come across. Thank you for the word of God. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I want you to notice with me here that in this passage of Scripture, just like in every passage of Scripture that you find, it's all about living the Christian life. This is a how-to manual on how to live the Christian life. Somebody say amen. And these verses are no exception to that. Notice with me by way of introduction, in verse number 28, we find a pattern for living the Christian life. He says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Let me go ahead and say at the beginning that God is our example, just as we learned this morning, that he's our example in forgiving others. But did you know that he's our example for living the Christian life? There's only one person that's ever walked this earth and did it right and did it to the point where God the Father broke all the rules at Jordan's River. The inaudible became audible and the invisible became visible. And God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In fact, he was so pleased with Jesus that he decided that he was going to make every one of us just like him. Hallelujah. Ain't that wonderful? There's a pattern for living the Christian life, and it's the Lord Jesus. It's not your grandmother. Help me, somebody. She's a human, make mistakes. It's not the preacher. Thank God you ought to follow the preacher. But he's human and he might make mistakes. There's one, hallelujah, that walked the dusty roads of Galilee and praised God the streets of Jerusalem, and they examined him. And Pilate came back and said, I find no fault in him because there is no fault in him. Hallelujah. He's our pattern for living the Christian life. We're supposed to do it like him and be like him. Somebody say amen. But then I want you to notice in verse number 29, there's a provision for living the Christian life. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, man, I can't live it like Jesus. Well, look at verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint. Hallelujah. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Aren't you glad that just about the time when you're ready to throw in the towel and just about the time you're about to quit, something miraculous wells up inside of your bosom and gives you enough stamina to go another mile? Honey, hallelujah. God has promised us that he'll get us through. Hallelujah. He'll give you what you need. He'll not give you a job to do and not equip you with the tools to do it. God's not going to send you somewhere to do something and not go with you and help you do those very things. There's a provision for living the Christian life. Then I want you to notice in verse number 30, there's a problem. Look at what your Bible says. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. How come it is the ones that we put the most stock in are the ones that are quitting on God? Somebody help me, y'all. How come it is the ones that you would think had the most strength that could stay in this thing are the very ones that are laying down? There's a problem. Amen. People, listen to me. You say, preacher, that sure is elementary. Well, if it's so easy, how come, if living the Christian life is so easy, how come you know so few people that are doing it and doing it right? Somebody say amen. I mean, listen to me. You sitting here tonight, you know people that are not here, that should be here, but for whatever reason, they're not here. Honey, listen to me. This business of fainting and falling out is real. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just start good. And I praise God for the start that I got. But it's one thing to start well, but it's another thing altogether to end well. And I want to get to the end of my journey and have the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. I want to please him. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Somebody say amen. I don't want to be one to faint and fall out. But don't you notice, and this is where I want to get to. This is our text verse, verse 31. There is a progression of living the Christian life. There's here's the problem, I believe. Recognizing the progression of the Christian life. Good, you got verse 40, verse 31 up there. Now I want you to notice with me the three verbs that he says here. Now watch me now. Here, I'm going to give you the three stages and then I'm going to preach them to you. Here's what Isaiah 40, 31 says. It's progressive in nature. Now watch this. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You say, preacher, you did that backwards. No, I didn't do it backwards. That is the chronological order in your Bible. Somebody say amen. Yeah, have you ever wondered why it is that it seems like it's backwards in Isaiah 40, 31? It's not because it's backwards. It's because that's how we look at things. You see, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. They're past finding out. That's the way God does things. Hallelujah. And there are three stages. There's three levels. By the way, that word... there, look what he said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. That word renew, it simply means to grow. Somebody say amen. And when you cease to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, you have ceased to become useful to him in this world. Somebody say amen. I don't know where you are on the level of growth, Christian growth, but there's another level to go to. And those levels are talked about in 1 John chapter number 2. He said, arise, you little children, because you, listen to this, because your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't know nothing. I couldn't quote you John 3:16. I didn't know how to tell somebody how to be saved. I couldn't tell somebody what just happened to me. But I do know this, that a load of guilt and shame that I bore my entire life was somehow gone. Hallelujah. Amen. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you and you have known the Father. Ain't that a wonderful blessing? Then he says, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you've overcome the wicked one. You see how they're growing now? They're no longer little children, but they're young men. And you know what happened? They got in the Bible. And when you get into the Bible will get into you. Hallelujah. And when the Bible gets into you, it'll strengthen you. And you'll begin to experience victory in areas that you never dreamed imaginable. Hallelujah. And then he said, I write to you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Hallelujah. That's growth. There is growth in living in this Christian life. I want to preach these three stages very quickly. Are y'all with me? It's 10 minutes till 7. Is that all right? I'll try to be as quick as I can. At least it'll seem quick. I'd like to preach about 15 minutes. I never have. But I just so as you know where my heart's at, that's what I want to do. Notice the three stages here with me in Isaiah 40, 31. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That is that entry level Christianity. Somebody say amen. That's where you first start out. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I call it the miracle stage. You see, that's where salvation takes place. And by the way, honey, salvation is the greatest miracle that has ever taken place in your life. When God, I don't know about you, but I was like old David. I was in a horrible pit in miry clay. And he, hallelujah, he swooped down out of nowhere. He came from nowhere. And he came to where I was. I couldn't get to where he was. But he swooped down and he caught me and he brought me up out of that horrible pit. Hallelujah. That is a miracle. Miracles take place. When you first get in this thing, honey, miracles begin to take place. Hallelujah. Salvation's a miracle. How else can you explain it? When a man goes from being a drunk all his life, hallelujah, one trip down to the altar, one time, praise God, and he never touches the stuff again, that is a miracle. It's a miracle when mamas and daddies get put back together and homes get repaired just because somebody got saved. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Does anybody in the house remember when they first got saved? Oh, I remember like it was yesterday. Oh, I was lost and undone. But he came to where I was and he swooped down out of nowhere and snatched me up and he carried me high above that lifestyle that had me bound down. Hallelujah. That's a miracle. And thank God that that's how he does it, because some of us were so bound down with chains of iniquity and fetters of sin that we could not free ourselves. But thank God the miracle of salvation took place and he carried his way above it. I remember when I first got saved, I found myself flying on the wings of an eagle. Help me, somebody. Oh man, I'm talking about the sky looked bluer and the grass looked greener. I didn't have to wear a t-shirt that said I got born again. Everybody that knew me knew I did. Somebody say amen. My neighbors knew I got saved. My co-workers knew I got saved. My wife knew I got saved. My mama knew I got saved. My dog knew I got saved. Everybody knew something was different about me. And it was a miracle. Miracles take place. Entry level. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I remember when I first discovered prayer. Y'all with me? Prayer is a miracle. Come on, somebody. Am I right about it? Prayer is a miracle. And I remember when I first found out about prayer. I thought, I really didn't know that's how it worked. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I was raised on the wrong side of the tracks. You remember that family that your mom and daddy wouldn't let you play with? That was us. I didn't know nothing when I got born again and I began to pray. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you, I'd prayed before, but it didn't really work before. Help me, somebody. Help me now. But oh, after I got born again, I discovered the miracle of prayer, and I began to go to my prayer closet. I didn't know no better but to take the word of God literal. I still take it literal, unless it tells me don't take it literal. Somebody say amen. And Jesus said, enter into thy closet and pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So I got me a snow shovel and I shoveled out about 900 pairs of high heel shoes out of the floor of my closet. Somebody holler amen. I got down on my knees and began to pray in that closet. And I'm here to tell you, honey, that everything that I asked God to do inside that closet, he did the very thing. I thought I had a genie in a bottle. I really did. I thought there's something special about this. I went to them old boys I worked with and I said, fellas, if y'all need anything from God, just let me know. Help me, y'all. Come on. Oh, I was flying high. Oh, my feet wasn't touching the ground. Miracle after miracle. I could go on. I remember when I found out about that book. Somebody say amen. Now listen, When I first got saved and started reading my Bible, that was not the first time I started reading the Bible. Help me, y'all. But there's just something different when the author moves inside your rib cage. Something you can understand things that you never could understand. And God began to open up my eyes and began to show me things out of that book. It would jump out at me. Things would just leap out at me out of the Word of God. Hallelujah. I remember when I first started going to church. That's a miracle, y'all. I started going to church. I made fun of folks who went to church. I hated church. I still hate dead churches. And I went to church. And you ain't gonna believe what I'm about to tell you, but I went back on Sunday night. I know. I'm going to blow your mind right here. You ain't going to believe it. But I went back on Wednesday night. I know. And I never will forget. I was sitting in church. And that song director got up. And it's number 308 in the old redback church hymn. I'm just sitting there minding my own business. And they got to singing. And them old choirs, them old songs. And the number 308 in the old church hymnal, it's the lifeboat song. How many of y'all have heard that one? About halfway through the fourth verse, it goes something like, "The fare is paid for one, and all the captain bids you come." Praise God, Brother Rob. But before I knew what was happening, I was in the rafters of a Baptist church, flying high, hallelujah, flying past the dead deacons and the other church members. I was wondering, what are you doing? It's Wednesday night. I was on the wings of an eagle. It was miracle after miracle. God was answering my prayer. He was speaking to me through the Word of God, and I was loving every bit of it. You don't talk about feel good. I mean F-E-E-L, feel good. I had goosebumps so big a piglet could suck on them. Somebody help me. My goosebumps had goosebumps. I couldn't open that book up and my eyes light upon his name and goosebumps jump up down my spine. Don't it feel good when the miracles are happening? When God's blessing you and God's helping you and God's doing things in your life, don't it feel good? Let me say something to you. You can't live on miracles. Help me, somebody. Newton's law comes into play. What goes up? Hey, let me ask you this. You remember when you went up? Do you remember when you came down? Oh, I remember. I remember when I came down. I remember, I came down hard about 3 months later. And I'd go back and get in that prayer closet where God, listen, I'd pray in that thing. And I was afraid to open my eyes lest I see God and die. Somebody say amen. But about 3 months later, I'd go back inside that prayer closet and try to talk to God. And I felt like my prayers wasn't getting past the first shelf in the closet till it was falling back down on my head. Somebody say amen. I felt like God wasn't listening to me. I'd go get that Bible where God would jump out to the pages and just, it'd launch out at me. And I'd flip through every page of that book and I couldn't get a word from God. It was blank to me. Yeah. I went back to them boys I worked with and I said, "Fellas, if you can get a hold of God, tell him about me. He forgot me." Huh? Anybody ever been that way? I went and told my pastor. I said, "I think something's wrong with me." I'd go back to that same church. I'd sit on that same, it was the center section. Now y'all got a center section. My pastor said it was the center section. I don't know if he spelled that with an S or a C. That's just what he called it. And I sat right back there and I said to the choir director, I bugged him to death. I said, "You got to sing 308. You got to sing 308. I said, "You got to sing 308. And he got up and he said, "Take your songbooks, turn to number 308 for Bud drives me crazy." And they got halfway, I sat on the edge of my seat waiting on it to happen. Halfway through the third verse, halfway through the fourth verse, nothing. And I'm back here going, "I just want to get back up there where I was. I want to get back up there. I want to get back up there where it felt good. I want to get back up there where there was miracles happening. I want to get back to those goosebumps. I want to live up there. Honey, you can't live up there. That's why God didn't just take you on to heaven when he saved you. You've got to come down. He needs you to come down. There's something down here you need to know. Which brings me to the second stage. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. That's that ministry stage. I call it the ministry stage. I never will forget when I was up there. I was flying high, and I got to thinking about my mama. I thought, I need to tell my mama about this. My mama needs to know about this. Amen. And then I got to thinking about everybody else's mama and how they need to know about this. And I sat outside of Walmart in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, in a 1967 Ford Ranger, short wheelbase, 3-speed on the column 352, chromed out. Somebody help me. While my wife was in there shopping, and I was patiently waiting. You know what patiently waiting means? She done come out and got more money and went back in. That's called patiently waiting in the Bible. It's in the Greek. You got to look at it. And I was sitting there and I was watching, and people would go in and people were coming out, and I would think, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they know about this. And before I knew what was happening, I'd done wet the front of my shirt. You see, what God was doing is I was coming off of that miracle stage. I'm going to tell you something, honey. Listen to me. When you're in that miracle stage, it's all about you. God blessing you, God helping you, God answering your prayers, God doing this for you. Hey, this may be a tough pill to swallow, but it ain't all about you. It ain't all about you. And here's what the Lord showed me. He said, there's others out there. Somebody say amen. There's others out there. And when I come down, I hit the ground running. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, I was ready to go. Oh, yeah. I didn't care about goosebumps anymore. I just wanted to go tell everybody about Jesus. Somebody say amen. I went and got the track rack, and I got gospel tracks from the track rack back there. And I'd go down to the Piggly Wiggly. Somebody say amen. And I'd stand outside the door of the Piggly Wiggly, and people would try to get around me. See, I played ball in high school. You ain't going to get around me. So I'd give them a track. I'd go up to them and say, you want to know about Jesus? Do you know you're saved? You want to go to heaven when you die? You want to come with me? I was all jacked up. And I never will forget that man. Look at me with his eyes real big and jumped back and said, hey, I love the Lord, but you're freaking me out. Besides, I pastor the Mission Ridge Baptist Church right now, and I'm going to tell you, a preacher, you're out here accosting people at the Piggly Wiggly. I didn't care. I'd go to the hospital. Had no reason to go to the hospital. It was the only place I knew had an elevator, because I wanted to get on the first floor and stand there inside the elevator. And when the doors open, you know where they're headed. They ain't but two floors in this hospital. I said, you going up? You want to go up with me? You want to go on up to heaven? You want to go to heaven with me? You want to go on up to heaven? And they'd say, I'll take a next one. I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. I wanted to win the world to Jesus. God knew I meant it. I got in that church, and they wouldn't let me do a thing. Somebody say amen. I mean, I wanted to do something. They wouldn't let me do nothing. Every time, see, they had what we would call, we wouldn't have an election, but there was a time of the year where the preacher would make sure that all the positions was filled, and he'd get to people. And I knew what time of the year that was, and I'd bug him to death. I'd see openings, you know, they'd put them on the board. And I'd say, I can do that. And they'd say, Bud, you can't keep the nursery, son. I'd say, fine, I can do that. They wouldn't let me be an usher. They was afraid I was going to make a withdrawal instead of a deposit. They wouldn't give me parking lot duty because they're scared I'd steal the radios. See, they knew where I came from. Huh? Finally, he said, I tell you what. He said, I'm going to let you be the assistant Sunday school superintendent. I said, finally. They have seen that they've wasted the potential that God's given to this church. Finally. Assistant Sunday school superintendent. Do you have any idea what an assistant Sunday school superintendent does at a Baptist church? Not one blessed thing. I'd have to have a sniper on the ridge taking out our teachers on the way to the Sunday school annex before they'd let me lead in silent prayer. Wouldn't let me do nothing, but I won't do everything. I volunteered for everything. I wanted to win the world to the Lord. But oh, I was running. My pastor had missionaries in. Yeah, about one a month, if I can recall correctly. I remember that first one he come in. He was a missionary going to Jamaica. I didn't know where Jamaica was. But that man got up and he had a convincing story about how Jamaica needs Jesus. I went home that Wednesday night and I told my wife, I said, honey, pack your bags. We're going to Jamaica. She said, okay. I said, amen. I gotta go tell them in Jamaica. Amen. And the next Wednesday night, I never will forget, there's a missionary come in going to China. And here's what that man said. He said there was more people that lived in China than anywhere else in the whole wide world. And it dawned on me that there's more people going to hell from China than anywhere else in the world. I went home and told my wife. I said, pack your bags. We're going to China. She said, I thought we was going to Jamaica. I said, you're right. We're going to go over here to Jamaica and we're going to win them to Jesus. Then we're going to go to China and we're going to win them to Jesus. Pack your bags, woman. I was studying one night in my little study and I opened up a book and a yellow piece of paper fell out in my lap. On the top it said, urgent. I said, I better read this now. They said they need Bibles in Russia. I said, you got to be kidding me. I grabbed my Bible and I held it to my bosom. And I thought, what would I do if I didn't have a Bible? I went back to the house and I said, honey, pack your bags. We're going to Russia. They need Bibles in Russia. She said, I thought we was going to Jamaica and then China. I said, okay, fine. We'll go to Jamaica, but then we'll go to China. But then we got to go to Russia. We got to go get Bibles to Russia. I have recently surrendered to be a missionary to the Chinese buffets of America. I am currently on deputation. I wish you would consider us. Now seriously, if you ever come to Carrollton, Georgia, there's a place they call the Fried Green Tomato. Naturally, I have to go inside this place. Yeah. Fried green tomato. I'm from the South. I gotta go inside here. And so I went in, and lo and behold, it's a country kitchen owned by Chinese people. There was two black ladies that was stocking the bar. I said, hallelujah. There was one white lady that came. She refilled my tea glass. She had a funny accent. I asked her where she's from. Guess where? Russia. I said, I have found my place in this world. I've set up shop in the back. We'll print Bibles. I'll make up little Bible verses and put them in fortune cookies. Is that not a genius idea, y'all? What I'm trying to tell you is that I wanted to tell everybody I wanted to run and run and run and run. Hey, because it's all about others, right? Let me say something to you before I move on to the next stage.
I usually get in trouble with this one. Listen to me. When you're in that miracle stage, it's all about you. It ain't all about you. When you're in that ministry stage, it's all about others. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't all about others. Huh? Just because there's more people in China don't mean I need to take my family over there. Huh? Just because there's a need don't mean I need to go do it. Somebody say amen. Jesus didn't go to the cross because there was a need. He went because it was the will of the Father. Huh? How come it is those that are most busy are the ones quitting on God? How come it is, let me say something to you. You try to stay in that miracle stage, you'll crash land. I believe that's how come our charismatic cousins think they got to get saved again because they love living in that miracle stage. And then when they come down, they don't feel good like they used to feel good, and they think they got to get saved again. Honey, you ain't got to get saved again. Somebody say amen. Amen. Might it be that you ain't got no sin in your life? Maybe it's God is changing gears in your life. Maybe he's taking you from one level to another level. Maybe you're graduating from this school and you're about to enter into another school. Maybe God's doing something wonderful in your life. You can't live in that miracle stage. You can't live in that ministry stage. There's one left. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And watch this, the last one. They shall walk. Huh? And not say it. Ain't that the key to this whole thing? Is that not the end result? Is to not faint, to not fall out, to not quit. Now I've seen people in that miracle stage crash and burn, and now they're out and they ain't coming back. I've seen people in that ministry stage who used to run for God, but somewhere along the lines, you stay in that ministry stage, you'll run past some things. You'll run ahead of some things. You'll run through some things. Now they're out. I ain't never seen somebody stumble and fall who was just walking with the Lord. And that's that mature stage. Did you know that God wants somebody to walk with him more than he wants somebody to work for him? Why, you can't open up the first few pages of your Bible until you find out what God intends to do with mankind. God made one man, named him Adam, put him in a garden. You know what he did with him? Two times a day in the cool of the day. He came down and he walked with that man. Hallelujah. Do you know God wants to walk with you? He wants you to walk with him more than he wants you to work for him. He wants you to walk with him more than he wants you to go to war for him. God just wants somebody to walk with him. Somebody say amen. He walked with Adam. He walked with Enoch. He walked with Noah. Thank God he walked with Abraham. And he walked with Peter and James and John. And he wants to walk with you. Just get up in the morning. Do you know how to live the Christian life and not quit? Just get up in the morning and take about 10 minutes and read some Bible and talk to God and say, Lord, I've got a busy day today, but I don't want to do it on my own. Come with me. And if you'll see that Jesus will take you by the hand and he'll lead you through your day. You can spend your entire day with the Lord, and nobody has ever quit on God when they were just walking with him. Now don't... Somebody said, well, I like flying. I like running. Well, I like running too. Don't think just because you're walking with Jesus, you can't run. You remember that old preacher named Elijah? Well, he was just walking with God. Amen. He was walking with God, and he got down there at the, to Ahab, the battle of the prophets of Baal in, I believe that's 1 Kings chapter 17. And the Bible said that he told Ahab, he said, get thee hence. He said, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. And oh, Ahab got that chariot going. Now, I don't know how fast the royal chariot could go, but however fast that was, that's how fast he was going. And then all of a sudden he looked in his side view mirror, and there was a rooster tail of dust coming up behind. Somebody say amen. Mew, passed him up like he was sitting still. And Ahab said, who was that? And that driver said, looked like that preacher. It was Elijah.
You see, because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he did outrun the chariot of Ahab unto the entering into Jezreel. If you'll walk with him, he'll come upon you when he wants to. And he might have you run to China. He might have you run to Jamaica. He might have you run across the street, but he'll take you there. He'll run with you, and you'll run like you never had run before. And just because you're walking with him don't mean you can't fly. That same preacher Elijah was walking with God, got across the Jordan River, told Elisha, said, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." All of a sudden, a chariot of fire and a horse of fire and a whirlwind came down and snatched old Elijah up, and he flew higher than any eagle ever dreamed imaginable. If you'll just walk with him, there'll come a day when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You'll fly higher than an eagle ever dreamed of flying. If you'll just walk with him. I like that verse. I like that song. It's number 55 in the old book we used. And it's called "Hand in Hand with Jesus." Here's how the chorus goes. From the straight and narrow way, maybe that's verse number 3. From the straight and narrow way, praise the Lord, I cannot stray. For I'm walking every day hand in hand with Jesus. Honey, when you're walking hand in hand with Jesus, you don't have to worry about stumbling. You don't have to worry about falling. You don't have to worry about fainting. You don't have to worry about quitting. This thing ain't, listen to me, it ain't hard. It ain't hard. Just stay with him. Just stay with him. Walk with Jesus every day, and he'll take you places. Let's all stand. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to turn it back over to the preacher. Let's pray. Let's pray, then the preacher's coming. Father in heaven, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for these that have graduated. I pray that you would bless them in whatever they do. I pray that, God, you would prosper it and help them. And Lord, send, I pray, may there be more. May there be more. May Calvary Institute be not lack for any students. And I pray that you would meet every need. Thank you for it. Help us, I pray. And we'll give you all the credit and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, preacher.
What a good message, amen. I believe it's something that, once again, we said we was going to have a service. So I want to give us an opportunity to gather around the altar tonight. I believe this is one of those things that, my goodness, I probably should have preached 100 times to us. There's so many times we get tired, we get weary. And most of the time because we put an effort into the wrong thing. We're trying to live in the miracle stage, or we're trying to live in the stage of pleasing others and doing for others. We ought to be around his feet, just as Mary was. Maybe tonight, that's exactly what you need. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me tonight, and those that will come, I want you to gather around the altar. Maybe you need to get that relationship fixed with him. Maybe the struggle you have in being at church and the struggle you have of doing things for the Lord. Boils down to a need of being closer to him. Walking with him. Daily, hourly. I love you too much to watch you walk out these doors and not come back and quit on God. My relationship with the Lord ain't going to fix yours. It's going to have to be something that you do. As we've said many times, it's about application. Taking what we've heard, applying it to our lives, that it may affect our spirit God may use us. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lord, I thank you for a message that was needed for this preacher. Lord, for our congregation. Lord, we have so many things going on around here. We have so many things that we're trying to do. God, if we're not careful, we'll miss the main thing. God, if we're not careful, we'll get ahead of you. God, I pray tonight. Lord, if anything we take from this message tonight, from this service tonight, God, I pray that we walk with you. God, I pray that, Lord, we have sweet fellowship with you. Learn to appreciate your word, appreciate the privilege of prayer. God, may you use us, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for it. You continue to pray if you need to. Dalton, you continue to play. You can have a seat. Thank you so much.